chapter number 4, 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and we'll review just a little bit and get into the message tonight. I was thinking about being called. My second point last night is we've been called, and I had all these scriptures written out, but I could see how the time was getting away from me, so Brother Philip took care of that called today and all the scriptures, you know, and so I appreciate that. Where I don't catch it, get it in there, these guys fill it in, so I appreciate that, and that seems like it works that way a lot of times. I have preached in a conference, and there were things that I had in my notes that I was going to say and scriptures I was going to read, and, you know, the Lord just didn't allow me to do that. And then the next guy get up and he'd take off from where I was and use the scriptures and so forth. And so I said, well, that was the reason. And I appreciate that, and it's good. And I've enjoyed the fellowship of these preachers here, too. I really have. And I appreciate these young preachers. And, of course, Brother Fayard's not an old man. But he's getting up there. He's starting to get up there in the age group that we call people elderly. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6. The Apostle Paul says this, and I want us to dwell on this like Johnny talks about the songs. If you know, sometimes we just read through a scripture and we just go through it. Maybe you're reading through your Bible in a year and you're just reading verses and so forth, and sometimes you just go past them, and sometimes it seems like they just leap off the page and they get a hold of you. And that's what I like about, my sermons turn into series at our church, but I like to preach along the same line for several services or several Sundays in a row or something like that, because it just seems like God just keeps opening more and more up to you as you study it, and it gets a hold of you and you think about it. And you know, sometimes we just go through subjects and the preacher preaches it and we say, man, that was great, I enjoyed that, and we go home and next week the preacher say, what did I preach on last Sunday? And everybody goes, well, let's see. I know you preach from the Bible. I know you preach from the Bible. And I think you were in the New Testament, you know, like that. I think I've told you this here. One time my dad preached a sermon on Sunday morning at our church in Twin Brook Hills Baptist Church when he was pastor. And Sunday night, he preached the same points. All he did was change the title of the message, but he preached the same points. And do you know there was not a person that said to him, you preached that same message this morning. But I knew it. And I wasn't about to tell it either. I was talking to a pastor recently, and he said that he preached a sermon one Sunday. And he said by the next Sunday, he'd forgotten what he preached the last Sunday. He preached the same sermon. And the people told him. And he didn't realize that he had preached it 2 weeks in a row. He said, I thought it sounded pretty familiar, but I wasn't sure if I preached it or not. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6. Well, I said all that to say this. Let's pay attention closely to the wording here. Paul says this. This is at the end of his life, and he says, for I am now ready to be offered. Listen, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Now, I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that is a real testimony. That's a real testimony. And that's the inspired Word of God. I mean, this is not just babbling. This is not just words on a page. This is God's holy word. God breathed. And Apostle Paul said this, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course and I've kept the faith. And then he says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness that Brother Philip talked about last night, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. We thank you for these people. We thank you for the visitors. We thank you for them staying and participating and being involved. We thank you for the children and their participation and their excitedness about being in the house of God and using their talents and their abilities in the service. And Lord, I pray tonight if there's someone here without Christ as their Savior, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. I pray for those of us who are saved, that the messages and the spirit of fellowship and the prayers and the songs might be something that would help us to draw nigh to God. And we pray, Lord, that you'll be pleased with these services and all that's said and done. And I pray that we'll not do anything that would do violence to the Scriptures or do any harm or be a stumbling block, but that we'd be a stepping stone, that we'd be the right kind of example, influence in the lives of these people. Pray for our families back home and our churches and our Christian school. Forgive us of our sins, we pray in Jesus' name, and amen. Last night I introduced this subject, and I said the title of it is To Stay the Course. or to finish your course, as the Apostle Paul said. And then we got talking about Paul and all that he'd gone through. And Paul was a man of God, and I think he was a hero of faith, if you want to know the truth. He went through shipwrecks and prisons and all those kind of things, and beaten and all that. We read about that last night. But he stayed the course, and he finished his course in his life. And as Brother Fayard preached tonight, and it's been preached this week, I believe, and Brother Reynolds said this, I believe we're close. I know that we're closer than we've ever been to the end, don't you? The Apostle Paul talked about that in his day, and people say, well, they've been talking about that since the time of Christ. But I'll tell you what, we're 2,000 years closer than we were before. And I believe Christ can come back anytime. My wife and I, we like to go in a store sometimes over at Walmart. Every town I know of has a Walmart. We were in Maui, Hawaii, and they had a Walmart there. So everybody's got a Walmart. And you go in there and you see people you know, and you're talking to them, and people know in that town that I'm a preacher. I've been there a lot of years. And I have people that will come up at Walmart, at the service station, in the grocery store, that are not necessarily members of our church, but we know these people or we've met these people. And they'll say to me, preacher, do you think the Lord is coming back soon? And I say, absolutely. And I pray that He does. I really pray that He does. You know what? I've got a lot of friends and relatives in heaven right now, and I'm getting anxious to see them. But more than anything, I want to see Jesus. Because He's the one that died for me. I'd like to see the Apostle Paul. I'd like to see Peter. Peter walked on water. What a guy he was, huh? We criticize him. Any of y'all ever walked on water? I asked that in our church one time, and a man, an elderly man that's in heaven now, he came up and he brought me a picture. And he showed himself, he showed me a picture of himself walking on water. Now it was like it is out here. It was frozen water, but he was walking on it. But Peter walked on water. And you think about it, I preached in this message and I've talked about Job, which I may do later in the evening or tomorrow or something. But Job and all that he went through, and these men were men of God. And listen, there are a lot of ladies there that we could talk about too, that loved God and served God and was willing to do whatever God would have them to do. The Bible says in God's Word that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And you know what? I asked a young preacher one time, Brother Jason Reinhardt, who now is our missionary in Peru, when he and his girlfriend at that time, fiance, were talking about marriage, and I counseled with them and so forth. I'll never forget this. I was in my office, and I always ask these questions. How do you know it's God's will for you to marry this particular person? And what? How do you know what God's will is for your life? And a lot of questions along that line. And I asked him. I knew he had been called to preach. He was a young preacher in our church and on our staff, and his brother by the same that's in Turkey now. And I'll never forget, I asked him how he knew it was the will of God and he was doing the will of God. And he said this. He said, I believe that the will of God for my life is to live today as God would have me to live in obedience unto Him. Just today. You know what? We think about the long term. We think about the long run. We think about 5 years down the road, 10 years. We need to live for God today. That's God's will for our life. It's just to live for Him today where we are doing what we're doing as God would have us to, in obedience to His Word and obedience to what He would have us to do. And so as we think about that, last night I said, why should we stay the course and why should we finish our course? And number one was, we have been purchased. We've been bought with a price. The Lord Jesus Christ purchased our souls at Calvary. He died in our place. He was our substitute. He died, and we're not our own. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, we're not our own. We're bought with a price. You know what the price was? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. I believe Brother Philip said this morning, listen, salvation's free to us, but it cost God a great price. Let me say this to you. He turned His back. God turned His back on His only begotten Son. A spotless lamb, without blemish, without spot, a one who had never sinned. But he, at Calvary, Jesus took His sin, our sin, upon Him. And He suffered our punishment and our hell there at Calvary. I believe that with all my heart. And the Bible says that God, that could not look on sin, turned His back on His only begotten Son, and Jesus cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Aren't you glad Jesus Christ finished His course? Aren't you glad He obeyed the Father? He said, I'm willing to do this that God may be all in all. And so we're purchased with a price. We're not our own. Thank God we're not. We belong to Him. You know what? That's a wonderful thing about it. Secondly, We've been called. We talked about that. And there's a lot of scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 1:1, we talked about the Apostle Paul being called. Romans 8:30, Galatians 1:15, 1 Peter 1:15, 1 Peter 2:9, 2 Peter 1, 2 and 4, and some of those that Brother Philip mentioned today. We've been called. We've been chosen of the Lord. We didn't choose Him. He chose us. People say, well, you know, I just can't believe that doctrine. But I want to tell you what, that makes our salvation even more precious. Unconditional love. He loved us in spite of what we are, what we've done, and what we've been. He loved us and He called us to salvation and He called us to service. Number three, this is the point we'll get to tonight. We have a sacred responsibility to stay the course. We have a responsibility to God. You know what? I owe Him everything. I owe Him everything. Everything that maybe I have or ever hope to be, I owe to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think this scripture was read this morning, but I want you to turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and let's look at the first two verses there in Romans chapter 12. I think you know this by heart, a memory probably. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, listen, your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that was talked about earlier, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, saved people, by the mercies of God, that you personally present your bodies, yourselves, a living sacrifice. He doesn't ask us to die for Him. I want to tell you something. If you're feeling sorry for yourself and you're thinking you're being persecuted as a Christian, I advise you to take that book, Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you start reading that. And I want to tell you, that'll make you ashamed of yourself for thinking you're suffering for God. I mean, those people were tortured, they were crucified, they were burned at the stake, their babies were ripped from them, and all kinds of things like that. They were drowned and everything. And I read stories of some that recanted. They said, if you'll recant, we'll let you live. But if you don't, you're going to die. And it was horrible, torturous death. And I read the account, I don't remember the fellow's name at this time, but I remember he saying he recanted. And then he watched his brethren and his sisters, and he watched them die, and how they were tortured, and how they were persecuted for the cause of Christ. He was spared. And he couldn't take it. And he went back. And he said, I told you I recant, but I can't recant. I can't go back on my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you do what you have to do, but I'll die believing the truth of God and all that He is and all that He's done for me. You know, I wonder how many people in the world today, right here in this building, how many of us would say, listen, I'm not only willing to live for Christ, I'm willing to die for Christ. You know, I'm the pastor of our church. I stand up front all the time and I preach these things to our people and I tell them, listen, we ought to be willing to live for Christ. If these be, die for Christ. But somebody came in that door and they said, if you don't recant, we're going to take you right out here and we're going to shoot you full of holes. You know, it's one thing to say what we do. It's another thing to say, I pray that's what I would do. I pray that's what I'd do. You see, there are people that are watching me. I've got grandchildren. I've got children. I've got family members. I've got church family. Young people have been saved, and people have been saved under my ministry there at Twinbrook Hills, and the Lord saved them. But I was just there preaching the gospel we'll talk about tonight. And those people have been saved. And what am I going to do? I'm the leader. I'm the pastor. Stories told one time of some Russian soldiers that came into a church service, and they were kind of doing it in secret because they weren't allowed to openly have church. And these Russian soldiers came in, and they came in with guns, and they stood at the front of the sanctuary. And they said, I want to know how many of you are willing to die for Christ. I want to know how many of you are willing to die for what you believe. And it says that several got up and they left that day. And then they talked about them as the men stood before them with those guns. And people got to think about many of the people that were in that service that day. They walked out the doors. And there was just a handful left. And the soldiers laid their guns down. And they said, "You're the people that we want to worship the Lord with." I will tell you, it could get really serious, can't it? Somebody came in this building tonight and they tried to harm one of these kids. I'd be willing to give my life for that. Would you? Somebody broke in our home, I'd die fighting for my family. I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher, but I've told people I'm going to defend my family. I'm going to defend my loved one. I'm going to defend whatever it takes. I'm going to do that. And you know what? We're in the service of God. We have a sacred responsibility to serve Him. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, "Ye shall be witnesses of Me." We are to be witnesses. Not be a witness. We're to be witnesses for God. We're examples. We're influences. We're testimony. You know, I read about Enoch, and the Bible said he had this testimony that he pleased God. Do you think that's possible for us today? We have this testimony that we please God. I hope I have that testimony, don't you? I hope you have that testimony. We please God. We have a responsibility, listen, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Listen, when we've done it all, when we've served God, when we've given it all, when we live for Christ, when we set the example, when we've been the influence, when we've been the pattern, when we've gone the second mile, the Bible says that's just our reasonable service. That's reasonable. Reasonable. I love this country. And I defend this country. And it may be a time when we're in the churches having to defend our country. Just rise up out here. I don't know. I'd defend this country, wouldn't you? I'd defend my family. I'd defend my church. I'd defend all that. I'd be willing to give my life for that. But sometimes we don't even live for Christ when it's so convenient for us to do that. You know, we talk about the Apostle Peter. And Peter was a rash man, and Peter had made some hasty decisions, and he'd walked on water, and he got to looking at what he was doing. He was doing his responsibility, we might say, for God, and he was walking on the water, and old Peter was doing pretty good, but he took his eyes off the Lord and started looking at what he was doing, and he started to sink. He cried out to the Lord to save him. You know, in our lives, it's like that many times, isn't it? We get our eyes off the Lord. We have responsibility. We know, but you know, somebody criticizes us. Somebody doesn't say the right things to us. Somebody doesn't appreciate us. And we're ready to throw in a towel. We're ready to quit. We talked about that somewhat last night. Our responsibility. Listen, we have a responsibility to live right. God has saved us. He saved us to live right. Live the right kind of life. A righteous life. The right kind of life. We have a responsibility to be witnesses of Him. You know what? We'll be a witness. Good or bad, you're a witness for Christ. Where you work, they know whether or not you're a Christian. And let me tell you, even lost people where you work, they know or they think they know what a Christian ought to be and how he ought to act and how he ought to talk. She too, you know. Andy was talking to me tonight about his job. And he said, "Boy, where I work." And I said, "Praise the Lord, you got a job." He said, "They knew me before. And they know me now." And I said, "And they can see a big difference." He said, "Yeah." And he said, "I think that's the reason I still got a job." It pays to serve Jesus, Andy. Pays every day. I've watched people out. We were talking this afternoon, and I mentioned last night Brother Sexton, his wife, and Brother Sadler, and I didn't mention Brother Sadler last night, Carl Sadler, and Brother Farrell's dad, and my dad, and people like that. And I've watched people in our church. My wife's mother, she's a great, great Christian. She's retired from her job at Avon. She made good money. And she comes over to church and she helps us order paces and stuff for the school. And she'll come over there and she'll clean the auditorium and she'll clean the bathrooms. Oh, she don't have to do that. But she loves the Lord and she wants to. You know what? Well, sometimes we think, well, the preachers are the ones going to get the greatest rewards. I don't really think that. I was in the office and my mother came up to my office. My mother's 84 years old. And she has crippling arthritis. She has rheumatoid arthritis. She never complains. Just lost Dad, you know, just a few months ago. And she's over there and she's wanting to help and do whatever she can. And she writes out mission checks and all kinds of stuff like that. And she came in my office one day and she said, "It's not right." I said, "What's not right?" She said that your mother-in-law at her age is out there cleaning the church carpet and pews and bathrooms and all that. She said, "That's not right." And I said, "I know it." And she said, "What are you going to do about it?" "That's my mother. I'm not going to talk back to my mother." I said, Mother, we've all told her, I'm the pastor, but I'll vacuum the carpet. I'll clean the restrooms. I've done it before. I'm not too good to do it. I told her I would. I said, her son is associate, and he's told her. And different ones in the church said, look, we'll do that. She said, no, that's my job. She doesn't have to do it. She does it because she wants to. And people say, well, the preacher pays his mother-in-law. She doesn't take a dime. She doesn't want a dime. And so we came down the steps from my office. I was following my mother. And my mother-in-law comes out of the bathroom. And she got yellow rubber gloves on. She's holding them up like this. And I said, see there, Mother? That's what she wants to do. And I told her, I said, my mother has just gotten on to me because you're cleaning the bathrooms and the carpet and cleaning the building and all that kind of stuff. And my mother-in-law said, but that's my job. That's my job. I would to God that we had more people say, hey, that's my job. I got a job, that's to serve the Lord. When I worked in a shop, and I worked retail for many years in different places, I laid carpet and all kinds of stuff like that. And you know what I always felt like? They were just paying me while I served God. Now, I believe you ought to give 8 hours, work for 8 hours pay. I believe you ought to give it the best you got. A Christian, you're a good example, testimony. But I'm telling you, they're just paying our way while we're serving God. We have a responsibility to serve God. He saved us. I was thrilled today with Philip and Troy's testimony. God saving those young men. You know what? Until we realize what a great sinner we are, that we don't deserve salvation, and that God willingly, Jesus Christ, the express image of God, went to Calvary and there willingly died in my place to save my wretched, vile, wicked soul. He purchased me. I'm not my own. I belong to Him. Listen, that ought to give us a desire to be responsible in our Christian life, is to live right and to do right and to serve right and to be witnesses of Jesus Christ and His power to save. I told you last night about my dad witnessing to EMTs and doctors and nurses. And I mean, he just kept on and kept on. My mother goes to the grocery store. People talk to her and she said, are you saved? Are you saved? You know, sometimes we think we're really doing something for God. We don't even ask people if they know Christ as their Savior. You say, well, that'll offend them. Well, I'd rather offend them and get the Word of God out than not to. And if it offends them, it shouldn't be because of our attitude and the way we present it. Hey, are you lost? You going to hell? No. You know what I say to people? Hey, where do you go to church? That's usually a good sign. Well, preacher, when I go. And when people tell me they go to church, I always ask them who their pastor is. You ever do that? You go to church? Oh, yeah, I know that church. Who's the pastor? Well, let's see. I know him well. Wait a minute. And I say, have you ever been saved? I can't say that I have. I said, well, I just like to tell you that I'm concerned about you. And I care about you. And I'd like to talk to you about it if you'd let me. I mean, we've got the good news, folks.
Amen.
Hey, who's responsible? The Lord gave that responsibility to the church. Yeah. Who's the church? The pews? The walls? No, us. I'm a member of the local church there in Hamilton. He's a member of the local church in Elliott. He's a member of the local church in Nancy. He's a member of the local church in the vacation capital of the world, Willow Hill, Illinois. Y'all are members here, right? Or in Harmony, or wherever you're a member. God said, go and teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And He says, lo! Listen, lo! What does He say? I'll be with you. We're not doing it in our own power strength. He's with us. We have a responsibility. You have as much responsibility to do that as a church member as the preacher does. Do you know that? But we expect the preacher to do it. Catholics, they've been talking about the Catholics. Poor Catholics, right? I don't know if anybody's here Catholic tonight. I wouldn't offend you for anything. But I was telling church the other day, we had a sporting goods store, and the lady and the man that managed it or owned it, I guess, was a Catholic, and the lady that was the managing of the store, actually, I guess, she was Catholic. So she went in the hospital. And I took one of my deacons with me. We went to visit her. And she's Catholic. And you say, well, what do you say to them? I said to her, I said, well, where is it you go to church? Well, I'm Catholic. I said, you know what? I know a lot of Catholics that realized they weren't saved. And they repented of their sins and by faith received Christ as their Savior. And they're going to heaven. I said, have you done that? You know what they usually say? Oh, I've done it many times. Doesn't take many times. Christ died once. Amen. Salvation once and for all eternity. Aren't you glad it's like that? Yeah. You can't lose it. Yeah. I can lose my car keys. I can lose my billfold, lose my checkbook, lose everything in the house. I know it's there somewhere.
Yeah.
But thank God I can't lose my salvation.
Yeah.
Hey, if we don't tell them, who's going to?
Right.
I take that personal. That's a personal responsibility that God has given the church, and we're members of the church, and if we don't carry the gospel out there, who's going to? Hey, we can preach to these four walls, and we can preach to our people, and we can get all excited, and we can say, hey, yeah, that's right, we're going to do it, but we've got to do it. As He said a while ago, time is short, and Christ is coming. We've read the Bible, we know God's Word. We believe the Bible. We're born again. We're saved by grace through faith. The Spirit of God dwells deep down in our hearts. We viewed all these things with the eye of faith. We know it's all true. Hey, we don't doubt it a bit. We've got it. We believe it. Do we just keep it inside here? You say, well, I just don't really feel comfortable knocking on doors. Well, I got news for you. I don't know many people that do. Because you don't know what's on the other side of that door. I had a guy came to me several years ago and he said, preacher, he said, I'd really like for you to go see my mother, but he said, I know she won't be very kind to you. I said, that's okay. I don't mind. And so I took another fellow and we was out visiting, knocking on doors, and went over there. Lady came to the door, an elderly lady. I told her who I was. She had met me before and I told her that we'd come to talk to her. And her daughter came to the door and she said, why are y'all here? I said, well, we just came over to talk to you, and I know your brother, you know, and he's in our church, and so forth, and we talked a little bit, and the door went kabam, like that. You ever had that happen? I mean, I'm a nice guy. Believe it or not, I'm a nice guy. I'm not going to offend somebody in their home or anything. I don't try to offend anybody. And she slammed the door. So we left. Got to church. I didn't say anything to that guy, the son. He was a middle age, about Troy's age, I guess, middle age. And after a couple services, he came and talked to me. And he said, preacher, did you go see my mother? I said, yeah. He said, how was it? I said, it was okay. I said, we tried to talk to her, yeah. He said, it was okay. I said, yeah, it's fine, no problem. He just kept on. He said, did she slam the door in your face? I said, well, I slams, that's a harsh word. I said, she shut the door. He said, I'm real sorry about that. I said, don't be. You know, if I'd been lost as an adult, I would say when I was 11 years old, but if I was lost as an adult, people came to my door peddling that stuff, I'd say, you know, as a lost person, I'd probably do the same thing. You know what, if you get discouraged because people don't accept the word or don't respond to you or whatever the case may be, just go to the next door. Like he said, they may respond at the next house. I don't know who the elect are, but God does. Just go to the next door. But anyway, to make a long story short, as far as I know, that lady was never saved. But when she died, you know who she told them she wanted to preach a funeral? That preacher that cared enough to come over my house. I wish I could have told him she had received Christ and she'd been saved. Hey, my responsibility is not to save people. My responsibility is to tell them. That's your responsibility. I'm telling you, that's serious responsibility. Now, I know that if we don't tell them that in God's providence and God's sovereignty and all that, He'll send somebody to tell them. But at the same time, I used to, when I was a young preacher, I'd go to the hospital and I'd visit people and they'd say, well, don't offend them or don't scare them, you know, and don't, they might die and all this stuff. And I'd beat around the bush and I'd get nervous and I'd sweat and everything else. And I'd leave there and I hadn't even told them how to be saved. I will tell you, that is the worst feeling in the world. And I felt like I was a failure. And so I promised God that I'd go, and given the opportunity, I'd witness to all of them. And so I began to pray, Lord, give me the opportunity to witness to this person. Give me the opportunity to go in their hospital room and not be distracted and people in there talking and cutting up and stuff, and I just get an opportunity to witness to them. And I'm not kidding you. I can tell you example after example. But I'd walk in the room, and I walked in one of our church members' dad's room, and he was dying with cancer. And his wife was there, and his wife said, Preacher, I am so glad you're here. She wasn't a member of our church. She said, I'm so glad you're here. I need to go down to the gift shop. Just my husband here, do you mind staying with him while I go down to the gift shop? I prayed about that. And she left. And I was witnessing to that man, and I said, Mr. Bovers, I said, do you know Christ is your personal Savior? And he said, he got a smile on his face. He said, Preacher, I sure do. And I said, how do you know that? He said, well, my son came over. And his son's not a preacher, but he's in our church. And his son is married, got a family. And he said, somewhere between Genesis and Revelation, I was saved. He said, my boy preached to me the whole Bible. And he said, I was saved. Now, when I left that room, I felt a whole lot better. Amen. You know, see, it was my responsibility. God had given me the opportunity, and I go there. And I will tell you how it works sometimes. You just pray that God will give you that opportunity and God will burden your heart for somebody and God will make it so easy you won't believe it. People will ask you, Preacher, tell me about salvation. I have people knock on my office door and come in my office and say, Preacher, I want to be saved. But God can make it like that. But it's our responsibility. He's given us responsibility. And I will tell you something. You feel so much better when you just tell them. If they don't receive it, you can't help that. But it is our responsibility and it is our duty to be a witness and give them the gospel and God to do the saving. Now, you have to be careful. Because if you're there when they're saved, how are you going to tell people that? Well, I was there and I read this scripture and I told them this and I told them that and they told me, oh no, that's saying you had a part in it. They didn't have a part in it. You didn't have a part in it. You know what I say? God just allowed me to be in the room. What do you say to that person? You talk about a blessing. I was just in the room. My youth director and myself, somebody had given us two tickets, to the Reds game, blue seats in the old stadium direct down front, opening day, parking pass, everything. Somebody came in, but we had to make two visits. Let me tell you, I was afraid to go to that game before I made those two visits. I was afraid. Because I had a responsibility to go witness those people. Some of them were dying. And so we stopped in a rest home. And guess what happened? While we were there, God saved the man that we went to see. He was there with his legs off. He was dying. And he trusted Christ as his personal Savior. And he cried and shook the whole bed. What ball game? Who cares? We went to another place in a hospital to visit a person. And in their room, they trusted Christ as their personal Savior. And the same day, I didn't get them to repeat a prayer after me. I didn't tell them that you bow your head and repeat what I'm saying, all that stuff. I just told them of the gospel, and I asked them if they were interested in being saved. I said, you should tell God what's on your heart. And God saved them. Two people saved that day. We went to the ball game after that. But I felt so much better. If I hadn't gone by there, now, they could have died, and I know God's sovereign. He'd take care of all that. But still, I would have felt a heavy load and a burden. We have a responsibility. And He said that He will be with us and that we can take it all to Him. And we don't do it in our own strength and power. We don't save them. Listen, you don't have to get nervous. You don't have to get upset. You don't have to get mad. You don't have to get in a hurry. You just tell them what the Lord's done for you in your life. Last illustration, I'll close. We have a fireman in our church, and I think many of you prayed for him. I was at Brother Fayard's when he drowned. He was under the water for 26 minutes. I went back home prepared to preach his funeral. God spared his life.
He's at our church. He and his family. And I mean, he's healthy. He's strong as a bull again. And they're in every service and all of that. But he's a fireman. Let me ask you a question before we close tonight. If you were leaving church tonight and you saw a building burning and you could see people in that building burning and you had the opportunity to get them out of there, would you do that? Would you? If it were your family in a house and you could see these little kids crying and begging to get out of that house and not burn, you'd do everything within your power, wouldn't you? You'd do everything in your power to save them and get them out of there. You wouldn't stop until you made sure. That's what firemen do. They go in there and they search every room, under every bed, everything, until they make sure nobody's in there. But you know what? Hell's burning. And the people of God sometimes are quitting and giving up and not continuing to serve God. We wouldn't do it if the house was burning. We shouldn't do it with hell burning and people dying every day. Dying every day in need of the gospel. And we have the truth of the gospel. We have the truth. And we ought to be willing to serve God with all that's within us, with all that it takes. Every hour of every day, every minute, every second, we ought to be consumed with that thought, I have a responsibility to give the gospel to my neighbor, to my friends, to my co-workers, to my family. We ought to be consumed with that because Jesus is coming soon. Let's pray. Father, I trust You, and I am so thankful that You saved my soul. But not only mine, many, many of my family members and my friends and people across this country that I've known and even in other countries, and I've seen You save them and turn their lives around. And I just pray that we'll take the responsibility that You've given us seriously. We have the message from Your Word to give to them. And I just pray that we will. I pray that we'll be burdened until we get out and give the gospel to those that need it. And we pray that they'll receive it. And I pray in this church here, there are people that come all the time. They tell me they're unsaved. There's some things that I don't understand, and it's difficult for us to imagine how that could be. And yet, in our own church, I preach every Sunday to people that sit there that I know that are lost. It breaks my heart. But I can't save them. But I pray that You will. Lord, we need You more than ever before. In our responsibilities, we can't do it in our own power. We have to do it in Your power and strength. Thank You for who You are and what You mean to us. We pray that You'd forgive us, and we pray that we would be what You'd have us to be for Your honor and glory. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and ask it all. And amen.